one of our finest actors is returning to Shakespeare, sort of. Mark Hadlow, we know from many excellent stage performances. He was the sensitive new age guy once upon a time in Snag, a huge hit on New Zealand's theatre stages. He accompanied Bilbo as a dwarf in The Hobbit, and he was in Peter Jackson's King Kong. He's in a new movie we'll talk about. But more immediately, he's soon to be Mr. Macbeth. Many of us remember Macbeth without a Mr. in front of his name. He was the Scottish king who thought he was protected against major misfortune, but was mistaken. Birnam Wood marching to Dunsinane was a slight worry, but he still felt combobulated until it was time to fight Macduff.
Let fall thy blade on vulnerable crests. I bear a charmed life, which must not yield to one of woman born.
Despair thy charm, and let the angel whom thou still hast served tell thee Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely ripped.
And it was all swiftly downhill for Macbeth from there, thanks to caesarean section. Mark Hadlow, good morrow, good sir. What a pleasure to converse with you again after, lo, these many years.
Oh, Jim, how wonderful to hear your voice. It's almost like an anxiety release when I hear your voice. It really is. So thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
No one's ever said that. Anyway, lovely to have you on. You are starring in Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth of Heathcote Valley Road. That's the title of the play at the Court Theatre from the 18th of May.
I know. Pretty good to go back to the Court after about a 3.5-4 year absence, and take this play that was written by Greg Cooper, who is one of my best friends, with one of my favourite people on stage, Lara McGregor.
Yeah.
And the Court Theatre in its final year before they move into their new address in the CBD next year.
Yes, you and Lara, a marriage made in heaven, although not in the play. Can I ask you, have you and Mrs. Macbeth shifted? Because you have previously starred in Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth from Dodson Valley Road.
I mean, we're moving residences again, I think, come March. We're going to Leith Valley Road in Dunedin in March for the Dunedin Arts Festival, we hope. The play is movable to wherever it needs to be, which is just great. I don't know what we'll call it if we end up going to Edinburgh, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. No, it's perfect. If you're looking for somewhere new to live, by the way, in Heathcote Valley, I came across a property for rent at 19 Hamlet Lane. 19 Hamlet Lane in the Heathcote Valley for $650 a week. There you go.
Oh, isn't it funny? Everything's funny. Connected.
Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth, though, getting back to that, the play, I am told will appeal to everybody, including people who hated Shakespeare at school.
It's so funny. We've had people in like who are breathless from the they know a little bit about Shakespeare, obviously, as well. But it's so funny. It's just such a great... It's such a great idea. And I have to say, it was my bloody idea, was great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I actually came up with it on a bus, on the airport bus, going through Wellington past the now defunct Downstage Theatre, with tragedy within itself, and looked across, and it hit me like a lightning bolt, Jim. I know, an acting couple, who are... really like Shakespeare, and they're very good at Shakespeare, and they've been performing Shakespeare in school productions and all manner of stuff all around the country, and they're about to do an opening night performance of Macbeth at Downstage Theatre. And Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth, their actual names are Tom and Joe Macbeth, and it came to me, I rang Greg straight away, and Greg said, oh my God, that's a really good idea.
You should catch the bus more often. This is my major takeaway from what you've said. Listen, before we get to the play and your other doings, more into the play, you had a lot on your hands when the storm blew through the Nelson area last year. You had a terrible calamity, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, Jim, to be honest, it was the year before. It was in August 2020.
Right.
22, 500 cubic meters of mud came down on the back of our house in Utterfy, and us and many other people throughout the Nelson region, and some people still haven't been sorted. It took us a year and a half to get the insurance EQC, all the people coming back to look at it to see what happened. We were 500 cubic meters on the back of your house is very unpleasant, let me tell you. And when you hear the retaining wall that it's snapping, it's the worst sound in the world, honestly. It was like they were like rifle shots going off. Oh, 11 of them of the 14 posts went. It was, and these are 400 cubic meter posts, you know.
Rifle shots into your heart. God.
Oh, man.
You were red stickered. You were red stickered, weren't you?
Yeah, red stickered for a week until we managed to get a digger in there. I feel for Hawke's Bay. I feel for anybody who endures this terrible weather predicament and weather event situation that occurs so often now. It's ridiculous.
The thing is that we hear a lot about insurance, which you've just mentioned, but people are still often terribly out of pocket. I'm sure you were out of pocket as well.
Well, we spent another six figures outside of what we were insured for. I don't want to mention money because it's ridiculous. It's how long is a piece of string? We got a taste of what it must have been like, in any situation of a disaster, a natural disaster.
Yeah, you certainly did. Mark Hadlow is with us. So getting back to Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth and the things that go wrong in the second half that he can't cope with, Mr. Macbeth. So this is a crisis just before the interval of the play. And I don't know how much you can give away, but you somehow find yourself on the wrong play at the wrong time.
He thinks himself is a Shakespearean sort of like experienced, like a very, very good Shakespearean exponent. And he finds himself that on the day of rehearsals, he's recast and his role is played by a social media giant who is a celebrity as opposed to an actor. And it's something that Tom can't cope with. But then at the end of Act One, a terrible accident happens. I'm not going to tell you what the accident is, but the circumstances change. And for the second half, he's no longer the understudy.
Right. Okay.
I'll let you read that into whatever you want. Yeah.
We'll put two and two together. We've talked this morning about single people being single and why they stay single, bad relationships and so on, people who avoid being in them. You, Tom, in the play, and your onstage wife, Jo, have what sort of relationship and what keeps you together, the two of you?
Well, I think they've been married for 30 years. And I think what keeps them together is just that for him, I mean, I look at it from Tom's perspective, is the fear of being alone.
Right. There's a lot of humour in the play. It's not like Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. It's not like
No,
that. No.
no. It's about any couple in any working situation with home and work. What is the
Right.
work-life home balance? And I think that's what people will relate to.
There's one other thing to mention. Don't you find out who is a very special person in the audience?
Yes, there is. There's a very famous New Zealand director in the house, and it's really important that she turns in an absolute gut-busting, fabulous performance as Lady Macbeth, because he's in the house to cast for a Netflix television series of Maccas.
So Taika Waititi or whoever in the audience, no pressure. Hey,
none at all. Yeah.
Oh, is there a happy ending? You can't say.
I put it this way, no one dies.
Okay, no one dies. Unlike Macbeth. How much,
unlike Macbeth.
And also unlike this movie that you're in, can you tell us a bit about the new international movie, Deep Water? You're in it alongside Sir Ben Kingsley. You play a wrestling coach. Just briefly, what happens in that?
Well, we never saw Ben Kingsley because Ben Kingsley did all his stuff in Spain and in a studio there in a
Oh,
cockpit
really?
that was obviously.
Oh.
Yeah, we never saw them.
Oh,
But
he's flying the plane. He's flying the plane.
yeah, he's flying the plane. And we were on this flight to take us to Asia somewhere. I think Malaysia or Indonesia, one of the two, for a school's wrestling competition. It was a college, American college wrestling team.
Right.
And so so we were on this flight, and the flight has a little bit of an altercation with some technical things and plunges into the sea. I did my own stunts, which was interesting. I
Really?
had harnesses on me in the water, and it was I actually really enjoyed it.
Your plane crashes into shark-infested waters.
Yep.
One more question. Are you fed? Are you personally fed to the sharks early on, or can't you reveal that?
I would say, look, put it this way, the first quarter of the film, there's me. And then, strangely enough, he disappears.
I felt very privileged and lucky to be on the film. Yeah, it was great.
Deep Water. We'll look forward to it.
Yep.
Speaking of Macbeth, just quickly, there's a new Val McDermid book, you know, the best-selling crime writer, out called Queen Macbeth. And Val says, this is her book, Queen Macbeth, and she says Lady Macbeth's been vilified over the centuries. Her book's partly about the struggles of women in politics. That's the analogy with today. And the witches are simply clever women, I think, in her book. And Macbeth himself is just a good-looking bloke who can fight. This is probably the sort of movie that Taika Waititi or whoever's in the audience would be more likely to make of Macbeth these days,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, probably.
Mark Hadlow's with us talking about his play, his new play, but also his new film. Now, the last topic, because the play is Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth, and you're playing Macbeth, with the assistance of a few websites, I've come across opinion about what your favourite Shakespeare play says about you. I mean, for instance, I've always liked Macbeth best out of the tragedies. In fact, out of all of them, I don't know what it says about me. But how about you? If you had to choose?
I think it's Othello.
Why?
Well, I did a production of it in 1996, 1997, Michael Hirst directed.
Yep.
Who is the doyen of Shakespeare in New Zealand from the perspective of his knowledge and what he can do. Thank you, Michael. I think Iago is just such a great villain. He's one of the great villains, and I feel very privileged to have played that, and I thank Michael for that because you know, it was a great opportunity, you know, because people regard you as a sort of a funny actor or a comedian or whatever you like to call them. And so when you get a chance to play villains, it's a really great opportunity. I love playing villains. Please cast me in any villain you want, Jim.
Motiveless malignity.
Oh, great statement.
Yeah, no, I forget. Love it. That phrase has always stayed with me. Apparently, if Hamlet's your favourite, you've been called an overthinker and you can never get your word count down on assignments. I quite like that one.
Yeah.
If King Lear, because we talked to Michael Hirst about King Lear, the recent version, if King Lear is your favourite, you've already written to an advice columnist about your family and you love Game of Thrones. It's quite funny if you read through the supposed meanings behind your affiliation with Shakespeare's plays. The last important thing to ask you, Mark, is about a woman in a UK tabloid, Rebecca Manville, who has seen a perfect image of William Shakespeare in one of her light bulbs when it's turned on. And there's a photograph in the Daily Mail, and I must admit it does look like William Shakespeare. And her house was built when he was still alive, Shakespeare, that is. Have you ever experienced anything vividly Shakespearean in your own life?
Yeah, I think I have. Someone had been disloyal, and I felt like I'd been stabbed in the back. We do suffer the slings of outrageous misfortune sometimes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of... Yeah, no, we do. And there's also a lot of sound and fury signifying not much professionally.
Yeah, and it's one of the greatest speeches, isn't it? Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Isn't it, though?
This petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
At which point Taika Waititi rises from the audience and claps.
And says, I want to cast him and not Lara McGregor. That would be amazing. Oh, God. Jim, yep. I don't know what it is, but thank you for letting me rave on about absolute bollocks.
No, it's great to hear you rave on, and also great to get you back on. Mark, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure, Jim. It always is.